I am going to start this video off with a very, very hot take. Since the Lord of the Rings films came out in the early 2000s, there has not been another movie that handles the storytelling of a sci-fi or a fantasy book or has the beautiful visuals in the same way that the Dune series does. I even venture to say that in that genre, or even outside of that genre, that since The Lord of the Rings, there has been no other film that is better done than Dune. It certainly is the film franchise I am most excited about. And I just can't help but compare and contrast them in my mind, because while they don't cover the exact same genre, there's a great deal of similarity in the world building and imagination of both authors. For Herbert, his focus seemed to be on creating religions. And all this should be taken with a grain of salt too, because I have yet to read Dune, although I will start in the next few months. For Tolkien, his focus seemed to be on language, which flowed out and became a focus on history and lore. And it's no real surprise to anyone, because Tolkien seemed to intensely dislike a lot of things. And he kind of seems like a little bit of a curmudgeon, which I love. But Tolkien never really liked Dune. And while I've been reading The Fellowship of the Ring, I've had that in my mind, and I've been trying to figure out exactly why he hated it, intensely disliked. And I think I found the answer. It's because of a decision that Tolkien made with Galadriel, at the weird moment where Galadriel becomes the big green demon elf lady. What happens there seems to be the biggest rift between the two stories. And I want to talk about why. But for anyone who doesn't know, I am reading through Lord of the Rings for the first time, and I'm publishing my thoughts in the form of video essays. If that is your cup of tea, subscribe, and like the video too. And if you have more insight into this little rift between the two authors, or you have any like different ideas or theories, please let me know in the comments. Again, because I am such a rookie at both texts, it almost seems laughable that I'm making a video like this when I know so little. But hey, it just stuck out to me on the page, and I just wanted to talk about it. If you visit the channel, there is a playlist of all my Lord of the Rings musings and essays. I'm almost done with Fellowship, and I have plans to analyze lots of other books and films like Narnia, Dune, Harry Potter, Brandon Sanderson, and dang, I wish I had more hours in the day to read. But you can also support this channel by becoming a member or donating for a video if you seem to like the content. But let's talk about this. For the moment that really hit me and got me thinking about the disparity between these two authors is because of the difference between two characters, Paul Atreides and Galadriel. I think they are the same character with the same potential. But the two of these characters go down starkly different paths that I think lays up the real reason Tolkien hated, intensely disliked, the world of Herbert. First off, let's get this out of the way, that Tolkien was Catholic and Herbert was raised Catholic but seemed to abandon his faith and come to be an agnostic. And this shapes the way that both view the role of the Messiah and what the Messiah really must do. Because at this point in the story, I don't know much about Galadriel, but based on what a lot of you guys have said in the comments for previous videos, it seems like Galadriel is really the Messiah figure of the Lord of the Rings books. Or a lot of you guys talk about how she's like the Virgin Mary. I don't really think Tolkien intended any of those things, but I think it seems to bleed through in our interpretation of it, and I want to make that very, very clear. I don't think Tolkien really intended to make these characters like the Virgin Mary or any of these characters like the Messiah. He is just writing a good story. This is all interpretive things and things that I am making as the interpretation of some of these stories and some of the things that we've made as the interpretation for some of this story. Galadriel just seems incredibly powerful. She seems like she has this temptation with the ring. She seems to overcome that temptation. It is very Messiah-like. And again, I want to be careful using these terms because I don't think Tolkien would have liked them. But the reason I'm using them is going to become clear, because each has a temptation to become the so-called ruler of the world. One takes up the mantle, and the other refuses. Let's talk about Paul Atreides first. For Paul, in the second movie, he is incredibly reluctant to take up the Messiah role. The Bene Gesserit have been laying up these prophecies for millennia to the Fremen, or the people of Dune, so that Paul, if he travels south, knows that the prophecies will almost just move into motion and just start. So he refuses for like the first hour and a half of the second movie. He wants nothing to do with it, and he's scared to go. Then all of a sudden this changes, and Paul goes to this one lady who keeps a baby sandworm. He drinks this blue stomach bile of the sandworm. That's poisonous, and it's something that only women can do and not be poisoned to death. This is what moved the Bene Gesserit women into Reverend Mothers, and they seem to be able to take all the prior minds and spirits of the Reverend Mothers upon them. And Paul, he drinks this and he nearly dies, but Chani's tears mixed with this drink stuff brings him back to life. I did a terrible job of explaining this, but it's fascinating stuff. It's a great film. But all this goes to show that Paul knows that when he drinks this, he will become the Messiah to these people. And that is a vital thing to modify about this. He himself wrestles with this idea of becoming the Messiah. But to the Fremen, a deeply religious people, he becomes their Messiah whether he wants to or not, without question. Throughout both movies, there are all these little moments when characters recite prophecies under their breath, pointing to their belief that Paul is the Messiah. But Paul also has these visions that when he becomes the Messiah, billions of people will die. And this is the vital point. Because you can say that Paul cannot forsake his destiny, but all this is just propaganda, almost, that the Bene Gesserit seems to be laying up to the Fremen, which seems to force Paul's hand into this role. And so when Paul goes essentially to be coronated as the Messiah, he's angry and he's pissed and he seems like he doesn't have a choice in the matter. It's this temptation that he seems to be resisting deeply at first and then still resists up to the time he drinks the poison, but then he seems like a reluctant leader and a reluctant Messiah when he drinks this. Afterward, he seems to have this like clairvoyance and he becomes a really great character. And more than that, he becomes this ambiguous Messiah, this person who will be responsible for these holy wars. And all the people around him who want power seem to thrive and just lap that up. In the moment of temptation for Paul, he does not resist, but seems to think that the only way forward is to drink this and become the Messiah. He's a good man, but will be responsible for terrible evils. And when you leave the theater, you kind of just feel unsure about Paul, if he's a good or he's a bad character. It's so ambiguous. Now, I kind of love this kind of writing, and I kind of love this kind of filmmaking as well. I think it's a fascinating look into religion and the deception that might happen because of it. I think that the complex Messiah and reluctant leader role is a fascinating depiction of what some religions do to people, and ultimately how there is unimaginable evil that happens as a result of people's firm belief in a person or in an individual. And even though that individual might not want anything to do with the violence, and they might decry it and denounce it, you cannot stop an uprising of people that believe in their heart of hearts in a person or in a cause. So Paul gets power and feels like these prophecies guide him. But contrast that then with how Tolkien puts us before the mirror and the temptation of Galadriel. I have to be honest, when I came to this chapter in the book, I was deeply confused for the world building and for the system that was going on here with the magic. And it's a deeply different world for Tolkien. But his character, in my opinion, goes through the same thing that Paul Atreides went through. But she chose an entirely different route. And I think that all goes to show what Tolkien essentially believes about these people who are in power. Galadriel, who I don't know the backstory on, so please correct me in the comments. And no spoilers, mark things as spoilers in the comments too, please, because I'm reading the entire Legendarium soon. But Galadriel seems to deeply desire the ring. Her initial starting point is different from Paul's in that she sees the ring and says to Frodo in the books, "I do not deny that my heart has greatly desired to ask what you offer. For many long years I had pondered what I might do, should the great ring come into my hands, and behold, it was brought within my grasp. The evil that was devised long ago works on in many ways, whether Sauron himself stands or falls. Would not that have been a noble deed to set to the credit of his ring, if I had taken it by force or fear from my guests?" She clearly wants the ring. And for movie lovers, you know this scene well too, because she goes all green and the books record her monologue here. She says this, "And now it comes at last. You will give me the ring freely. In place of the Dark Lord, you will set up a queen. And I shall not be dark, but beautiful and terrible as the morning and the night. Fair as the sea and the sun and the snow upon the mountain. Dreadful as the storm and the lightning. Stronger than the foundations of the earth. All shall love me and despair." She lifted up her hands, and from the ring that she wore, there issued a great light that illuminated her alone and left all else dark. She stood before Frodo, seeming now tall beyond measurement and beautiful beyond enduring, terrible and worshipful. It's honestly some terrifying stuff, And this seems to me her moment of temptation. She sees before her all the power that she can possess. And almost what would happen to Middle-earth were she to become the wearer and the possessor of the ring. And what does she do? But seems to go full-scale Green Queen monster on Frodo. She essentially is making a self-prophecy of the things that will happen. She even tells Sam this at the end of the chapter when Sam wants her to take the ring. Sam says, "I wish you'd take his ring. You'd put things to rights. You'd stop them digging up the gaffer and turning him adrift. You'd make some folk pay for their dirty work." "I would," she said. "That is how it would begin. But it would not stop with that." But the biggest difference between the two is that Galadriel resists temptation, knowing that this is not the only way for Middle-earth to be saved. And Paul Atreides seems to cave to temptation, believing that he himself is the only way for the galaxy to become healthy, or something. I don't really exactly know what Paul's final vision for the Empire is. I need to actually read this book. But real quick side note too, a friend of mine told me to read the first one and don't bother with the rest because they get weird. But let me know if they're actually worth it and they are good to read and what I should start with, etc. Let me know the whole Dune storyline. Or don't give me spoilers, obviously, but let me know what I should start with when I start reading. And so here we go. After Galadriel becomes a scary version of herself, if she took the ring, she doesn't think that this is the only way, but does something that has typified my little understanding of her for the minute that I met her in the prior chapter. She humbles herself. This seems to be the mark of her character, because there were centuries of hate between dwarves and between elves, and Galadriel speaks the language of Gimli in a humbling manner and talks about the Song of Durin to him and seemed to mend the gap between them so quickly because of humility. And after this scary moment, this is what the book says. "Then she let her hand fall, and the light faded. And suddenly she laughed again, and lo, she was shrunken, a slender elf woman clad in simple white, whose gentle voice was soft and sad. 'I passed the test,' she said. 'I will diminish and go into the west and remain Galadriel.'" This, to Tolkien, in my understanding of Tolkien, was what made a good messiah. It was the humility to do what was right, regardless of the prophecies and the intricacies of any position. Again, I am just kind of assuming that Galadriel is the real figure here, but I think the comparisons are just too stark. If Galadriel, one of the oldest and wisest and most powerful beings in all of Middle-earth, were to take the ring, terrible things would result. There might initially be good, but it would then be clouded on in evil later. And so she humbly refuses, and her role is very clear. There is good and evil in Middle-earth. There are certain gray areas that I do believe that Tolkien does tackle, like the interplay between certain characters, or how we just wrestle with the choices that we make, or even the character of Boromir, who I don't know about his temptation quite yet in the book, seeing that I'm right before that chapter, but someone who seems very gray. He is good, but is also possessed and moving to the side of evil. For Tolkien, these two things are opposed to each other, which shows his Catholic beliefs bleeding through into this story. For Herbert, an agnostic, he seems to like the gray area a bit more, which, to be honest, I think is almost a bit more realistic for how the world is portrayed. And the movies portray this character, who you don't know if you should root for or hate. And again, I kind of love this storytelling too, because which of us humans are without error or mistake? There is this gray area that resides in all of us, but at the same time, that gray area is gray because we usually know what is right and wrong and are deciding between the two, as Herbert points out, and as Tolkien firmly believes. And the answer that each give to their messiah to me makes it clear why Tolkien hated, intensely disliked, the work of Dune. In one, the messiah has blood on his hands. In Tolkien's work, the messiah is the messiah because she chose not to be the messiah, and she chose to do the right thing and fight for the destruction of the ring by smaller, more humbler means than the desires of her heart and her desire for power. Essentially, I think Tolkien hated the work of Dune because of one word: humility. There is humility in one story that gives hope and a hopeful outlook to the world. And the other, there's despair and darkness and confusion and a striving after the power that does feel like a very hopeless world. And I believe that Tolkien knew in his heart the difference that a single act of humility can make. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But anyway, this essay was an off-the-cuff essay. I was going for a walk with my dog, and I was going to write on the gifts of Galadriel, and I was just like, oh, I've been thinking about Paul Atreides lately and the difference between him and Galadriel, and let me just write a quick essay about it. I might totally change my mind about this after when I read some comments, but let me know what you think, especially if you've read both books. Make sure you like the video, subscribe, and if you want to become a member or donate to the videos, that would be incredible. And I'll see you in the next one.